Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 6, 5 through 13 for this morning's scripture reading. It's Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
We're considering together the Lord's instruction concerning prayer. We've never regarded the prayer as one that is required word for word. In fact, in this context, it says, this then is how you should pray. And so it certainly is much more than simply a repeating of words that are familiar. It says, this is the way you should pray. And that's the way we're looking at it. But it's true that in the Luke passage where the prayer is also mentioned, it says, when you pray, say. And so there is a warrant for the exact words being said. And so we aren't going to bicker about that point, but we want to see that it isn't simply a matter of saying words. Jesus' concern is not with words. It's not with repeating the same words. No matter how many times you repeat them, that is not what he's concerned about. He's concerned with the way in which we come before God in prayer. And we want to look at his instruction with regard to that. We looked last time at the address of the prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We saw that as we come to God, he'd have us recognize that we're speaking to a father. But not simply that he is our own personal father, but he's the father of all his people. It's not my Father in heaven, but our Father in heaven. He'd have us remember as we pray that we're part of a great company, a great multitude that no man can number, many who are already gone before and are in the presence of God, and others that are accompanying us all throughout the whole earth, who come before God as all children of the Heavenly Father. There's a wonderful encouragement in knowing as we pray not just for ourselves. America, the emphasis so much in the gospel has been on a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've been challenged to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's important that you, for yourself, come to know Jesus, and that God is not simply a figure you're admiring from a distance, but one you know personally. And you've been challenged to come to the Lord Jesus personally. And we've been reminded that if there were no other sinner in the world but you, Jesus would have died just for you. And it touches our heart. But Jesus had in mind a company, a large gathering, a multitude that no man can number, that he was laying his life down to save. And he taught us to pray, aware of that great company. It's our Father. We come as a gathering of God's people, spread out throughout the whole earth at any time in history, and coming, calling upon the same God. It's a beautiful picture that's in Jesus' mind when he teaches us to pray. And he reminds us that we're praying to our Father in heaven. We know God is at home in heaven, but we remember also that that's our home as well. If we've been born again by the Spirit of God, if God's taken the stony heart out of our flesh and given us a heart of flesh, he's made us long for heaven, and we felt somehow this world is not our home. And so when we pray to God, we're praying to one who is not only at his home in heaven, but at our home in heaven. And we look to God for provisions as we're away from home. And that's a whole perspective on our view of life that's involved in. I'm living in a context that is away from home. I'm calling back upon the God who is in my home, in the home that I will return to one day. And I'm seeking the provisions I need to live a life pleasing to him until the day when he is pleased to call me home. And that mentality is one that God wants us to have with regard to prayer. And so Jesus, as he gives us a pattern for prayer, reminds us that we are part of a great company, that a great part of that company is already home, and we one day will be there. We're here looking for supplies and helps to face the responsibilities of the world until the day when he calls us home. That's the way we're to look at life. And Jesus puts that even in his prayer to us. He said that we're to remember that God's at home, our home in heaven, and he'd have us recognize the importance of his name being hallowed. He'd have us remember that God's at home, our home. He'd have us remember that the things we need most personally is that the name of the Lord be hallowed, that his name be praised. If God's name is praised by whatever happens to me, then it's well that it happens. Don't you feel that? Not just the wonderful and exalted Christians who are such great examples feel that. Don't you feel that? That whatever takes place in your life, if God is praised, it is worth it. The thing is, I'm speaking to people that are born again by the Spirit. It may be there are those here who haven't yet come to know Christ. It's often amazing that one can hear the gospel again and again, and it never clicks. We know there could be some that haven't yet seen. But the wonderful joy is that we gather with people, most of whom have been born again, and who honestly from the heart can say, if God can be praised in my life, then I'm willing to accept whatever he brings into my life. It's that his name be praised. It's not something simply that is a holy sounding phrase. You believe it, you feel it, and you want God to be praised by your life. I know that I talk to people who feel that way. And Jesus is speaking to Christians as he speaks here. He's described Christians as the poor in spirit, the hungering, the thirsting after righteousness, the qualities that make a real Christian. Are you that? Have you been born again by the Spirit? If that's the case, then I think the message will be the right way round for you this morning. But it does seem at first like my message is going to be backwards. Normally you preach the whole message and then you come to application and you challenge people to do what you just talked about. And I'm not going to do it that way. I'd like to divide the consideration in looking especially at verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the petition we're looking at. And I want to look first at what you want. And secondly, at what Jesus wants. And thirdly, how he showed that to us. Now that's the wrong way around if you think that you have to bring people to see what's responsible they're responsible for and then telling them to do it. But I don't want to do that to you today. I want to challenge you to look at what's in you by the Spirit of God if you're born again. And speak to that Spirit within you that God has worked by his Holy Spirit, and then recognize how that's the heart of Jesus, that he has planted in us by his Holy Spirit. So we want to consider verse 10, what we want, what Jesus wants, and how he showed this to us. May the Lord help us to benefit as we look at it today. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the love with which you have loved us. Thank you for the work of grace that you've done in our hearts to make us desire that your name be praised, to desire to remember that you are our Father in heaven, and to long to draw near. You've put within us a desire for home, and we long to be there, and more we feel that this world is not our home. Lord, it is you that have done this. These aren't things that we've made ourselves do, they are things that we've remembered to do. They're things that have happened because of your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that as we consider this prayer this morning, that you'll teach, instruct, and help, and draw out of us genuine prayer to God. Bless us, we pray, and grant us your Holy Spirit in this hour. For Jesus' sake, amen. Verse 10, the appeal is, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what you want? Don't you live in a world where you've seen that what would be blessing to this world is that they know Jesus and that they want to please him? Aren't you grieved to see people that have no interest in Christ, who can look at the wonder of what God has done and the beauty of the world he's made and be abundantly blessed by the blessings that he gives and not even thank him? not even recognize that he gave those things, making up fairy tales to explain the origin of the things they see, while the fingerprints of God are all over everything he does. And they see it all and they don't see him. And it amazes you sometimes, and it certainly grieves you. They don't see. They don't want to give praise to God. They don't want to be thankful. They'd rather have some other explanation for the blessings that come. They'd avoid the truth. Of course, we see it at Christmas time when they seem so eager to talk about Santa Claus, when the wonder of God's goodness to us isn't just in the religious things that we believe when we look at the manger, but in everything all around us. God has so wonderfully blessed us. And that people should find some other explanation of the wonder of what God has done. You wish that weren't the case. There's something in you that wants that Jesus Christ be honored for what he is, that his kingdom would come where there are people that love him and serve him and want to honor him, and you want it to be the case. Now, I'm talking to those that have come to the Lord Jesus, that have come from darkness to light, believed on him, have a changed heart. You look at the world around you, and you want God's kingdom to come. You see how the terrible destruction all around is because God is ignored and God is rejected and people don't know the law of God and don't want the law of God and their own hearts are in enmity to God and they brought destruction upon themselves and the world is a mess, and you long that his kingdom will come. You want that God would come, and not just in words. Not only his kingdom come in the sense of people acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, although you love to hear that from people's voices. When you hear Christmas carols sung and people sing the praises of God, you love to hear it come from human mouths. But your desire is that it come from the heart. And that you pray when you think of hymns being played at malls and the loudspeaker systems, that people who hear these things would from the heart believe those things, long for those things. That's the kingdom of God coming when Jesus is king and servants love him and want to serve him. And you long for that. If you're a Christian this morning, that's what you want. Your kingdom come. Jesus is telling you to pray that which he's put in your heart. It's not telling you put upon yourself a responsibility to pray these things and that's what God wants you to do in order to be blessed. That's the problem with putting it at the end, the application. It makes you think that somehow, these are the things that I should do. Okay, I must do this. Now I'm going to do this, and I'll look to God to bless. But God has blessed. He's been pleased to put in your heart a desire that Jesus Christ be recognized as King. And you have a heart that runs out when it thinks at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You long to have the name of Jesus go forth and people worshiping him as King. And not just with words, but with their lives, living for him. And how you long to see that. That people would make choices that exalt the name of Jesus. That they choose according to God's word. They want to do that which God says in his word. They delight to run after him in joy. You want to see that in yourself. Your own struggle is you're not that like you should be. You're distracted. You're turned in the wrong direction. You're involved in the wrong activities. You miss opportunities to serve him, and you kick yourself at time. Why didn't I do this? Or why did I do that? And you find that inner struggle because you want his kingdom to come. You want him to be exalted as king, him to be recognized as King of kings and Lord of lords. You love the Hallelujah chorus, King of kings and Lord of lords. He shall reign forever and ever. You love it. It's not just you sing it because you're supposed to or you want to love it. You do. Because God, by his Spirit, has made you want to see Jesus Christ acknowledged as King. And not just with words, but people serving Christ with alacrity, with joy, with readiness, wanting to serve him, just like the angels in heaven do. That's what you want. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You want it. You want to see it in yourself. Often the thing that convicts you and makes you come again to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, is how you did not behave like he was king. And you did not behave like his law was something that was good for you to obey. And you feel repentant and sorry. And you come back to God and say, Lord, I blew it again. I want to acknowledge you as king. I want to obey your law with joy, even as the angels in heaven do. I want to do that, Lord. and I constantly fail. I need your forgiveness and I need your help. Lord, help me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it isn't just looking at this naughty world and wanting the world somehow to acknowledge Jesus as king. It's wanting me to acknowledge Jesus as king and live for him and love him and serve him willingly and joyfully. That's what you want. And I want to start by pointing out what you want before I get to what Jesus wants. Because it isn't a matter of see what Jesus wants and realize how far short we fall and ask forgiveness and start there. Even now you start worshiping and praising God. And you come as one who's been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the case with you, isn't it? Have you come to see the reality of the things we speak about? It's very easy to go through the motions of religion, especially at Christmas time. You know so many of the hymns and you can speak so familiarly with all of the themes. And so it is possible to go through all the motions and sound very wonderful. But it is true, isn't it? Am I misdescribing your heart? Don't you want to see Jesus acknowledged as king? Don't you want to see multitudes? Don't you want to see the earth filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? Don't you want to see great multitudes? Don't you long to see the time when a great multitude that no man can number is bowing to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize that he's king, and to be ready to serve him wherever he sends them? Don't you long for that day when you'll see it? And don't you wish you'd see more of it now? And don't you pray that as the hymns are sung over the, or played over the communication system, don't you pray, oh Lord, work in hearts to make people desire the things their minds are remembering. God's done that. Blessed be God. Do you have that in your heart? If you have it in your heart, it's because the Spirit of God has revealed it to you. God says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And if this Christmas we can look at these things and recognize that these things matter to me, we can praise God for having done that in me. God has been pleased to open my eyes to behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. Men don't recognize Jesus as king. They don't want to bow to him. They'd rather make up fairy tales about creation, fairy tales about Christmas, fairy tales about God's blessings, fairy tales about everything, rather than to acknowledge God. But you do not want that. You don't have to go around criticizing everything in your society. There's a way of viewing the whole Santa Claus myth as a part of Americans' cultural experience. You don't have to boycott The Night Before Christmas as a poem. You don't have to take a stand in that way. You don't have to shoot down everything else. But how you desire that people's heart would receive Jesus as the King. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be up on his shoulders. You want to see people accept that. We remember sometimes there are three Christmases in America. There's the Happy Winter Christmas, the Frosty the Snowman Christmas, just fun about Christmas. That's a part of Christmas, and it's just as a matter of happy winter. And then there's the cultural thing of Santa Claus, which is another myth that people will be excited about, and it's a symbol that's caught a hold of us. But there's the story of Christmas in Christ, and you long for people to see that. You want that they'll get beyond all the other. You don't have to shoot down everything else. But you long that they'll see that in the midst of it all, there's Jesus displayed, the one who came to live in such a way as to become our king and to rule over us as king. And you long that people would come to that. It grieves you when people don't see Jesus as king. Why? Because the Spirit of God has revealed to you that he is king. And it's wonderful when Jesus tells us to pray, he's calling us to express our own hearts to God. That's how we're to pray anyway, not simply remember the words to say. It's to express our hearts to God. And your heart is, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. In the world all around me and in my own life, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done. What a wonderful personal thing it is when we come to our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. It's an expression of the heart of a Christian. It isn't simply a standard or a instruction about how to pray. We've kept back from instruction in how to pray. It's a calling out to you what God is doing in you by His Spirit if you've come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian wants these things. He's grieved not to see it in himself. He dreams of it being someday in the whole world. Jesus teaches us to turn that longing into prayer and to pray to God that His will be done in this world. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God witnesses with your spirit that you're a child of God. Praise God for His unspeakable gift. Praise God that we can ask Him from the heart, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's what we want. Now, we want it because God has worked in our heart to want it. And it's because what Jesus wants. That's what Jesus wants. The vast multitude of people to be brought to a place they recognize Him as King and relate to Him and desire to serve Him. Not for His own good, but for their good. They're not made to be autonomous beings finding their own way to happiness. They're made to relate to Him. And so He longs to bring them to Himself. And He prays, He desires that His kingdom come. And His kingdom is very important to Jesus. Repent is His first word. That's the first word, according to Mark, out of the mouth of Jesus in His public ministry. Repent means recognize your sin and turn from your sin. But the rest of the phrase is, for the kingdom of God has come. He's very conscious He comes to establish a kingdom. He comes to call men and women, boys and girls to Himself, to recognize Him as King and desire to serve Him. That's what He came for. He saw a world gone astray, destroying itself, and He came to rescue them. He didn't want them to perish. All of their choices would have led to perishing. He didn't want them to perish, so He comes to earth to establish a kingdom, to demonstrate who He is, to manifest who He is, and to bring men and women, boys and girls, to trust in Him, to establish that kingdom, which will last forever, and through His working throughout their lives, would bring them to a point where they obey Him with alacrity, free from the heart, praising Him, desiring to please Him, even as the angels in heaven do. Men and women, boys and girls who are so far from being angels will be made to be like the angels in their serving of Him. Now, a great deal more wonderful than the angels in some ways, but like the angels in serving God with freedom and confidence and joy. And that's what Jesus came to do. Why did He come to earth? To gather a people to Himself, to overturn the works of the devil, to pull down strongholds and everything that exalts itself against God, to announce the kingdom and to bring the kingdom to pass. He came as a little baby in order to accomplish all that was necessary to establish His kingdom, that the government might be upon His shoulders and His name might be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus came to be all that, came as a baby, but in order to accomplish all that was needed to establish a kingdom. You've been brought into the kingdom of God by His Holy Spirit. You've made a child of God, and you've been given a desire to serve Him. Jesus' heart was where He has brought our hearts to be, and He came to bring about what His heart desired to see. Jesus came in order that God's kingdom come. Jesus lived to this end. Jesus suffered to this end. He died to this end. He rose again to this end. Jesus has made us to long from the heart with a longing with the kind of longing that brought Him here to rescue us. Men no longer wandering as sheep without a shepherd, no longer in bondage to the devil, no longer destroying themselves and one another. God's kingdom on earth, His people serving as the angels in heaven. This is what Jesus wanted and what Jesus came to bring about. I began with our own hearts and our own longings because that's where we are. Why are we there? Because that was the longing of Jesus. When He looked upon a world lost in terrible abandonment, destroying itself, He didn't want them to perish. God the Father didn't want them to perish. Jesus willingly came with a purpose of bringing them into His kingdom and helping them to walk in His way. And that was the heart of the Lord Jesus. He's put that in us, and we long for that as well. Well, how did He show us that this was His great desire? By His whole life and ministry. The blessing of following and obeying God shown by everything He did, every choice He made, He came realizing he's subject to the Father, and he did always the things that pleased his Father. He showed the importance of it by being one in perfect obedience and with freedom and quickness to obey God at every occasion. That he came to submit to God, so wonderfully clear in the garden. His prayer in the garden, his desire to do God's will. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven." What a terrible crunch that brought him to in the garden, when as a human being he shrank back from doing the will of God and came to the point of pleading, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." How can we read the verse, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," without remembering what that meant for Jesus to say, "Your will be done"? At the point where he pulled back in horror from what came to him, what was coming to him in the will of God, he came to that point of saying, "Your will be done." He conquered in that area that touched him the deepest, and he calls us to do that. How can we pray, "Your will be done," without remembering Jesus saying, "Your will be done"? And it was a matter of saving us. Couldn't save us without laying down his life for us. If there had been some other way, God would give it to him. God loved him and answered his prayer, but the condition was, if there be any other way. And there was no other way. The only way that you and I could be saved is if someone takes the penalty upon himself and dies in our place. And Jesus battled that through and ended up with, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Complete obedience to the will of God on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, from heaven, did that in our midst. Men no longer wandering as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is shown by his life and ministry that his heart was that a kingdom be established. By his prayer in the garden, by the work that he continues to do in the world, the great concern of Christ is that the kingdom of God be extended. And such an encouragement to hear the sections of this book, Dispatches from the Front, or to see the video that shows the work of God reaching forth and gathering people. What an encouragement to our heart. Christ intends that his kingdom come. And he's sending forth those that will gather men into his kingdom. And the joy is when they gather and they are in his kingdom and worship him in whatever way they do. The way they worship and praise Christ is a joy to our heart, because the kingdom is coming. The kingdom will not be stopped. God cannot, the people can't, God will not stop, will not be held back from any obstacle. Jesus Christ goes forth conquering and to conquer. It's the work that he continues to do in this world today. And we know that this was Jesus' consideration, his concern, by what he's done in our lives, by what he's promised for our future. Jesus' concern was that his kingdom come. And he's taught us to long that his kingdom come. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for what we need most. And this is truly what we need most, that we be part of a kingdom that shall have no end, ruled over, defended, and provisioned by a wise and powerful king. Jesus is not teaching us to mouth empty words. He warns us about empty words. Doesn't mean we ought not to say the words, but they ought not to be empty. And if we're gathered in a group where they say, "Let's pray the Lord's Prayer," that ought to be very genuinely spoken by us, remembering what we're praying. We always have the question, when there are people that have learned it by rote, wondering whether all of them are part of the sentiment that we feel as we come. But at least when we're there, have the sentiment ourselves that this be done, because we're calling upon God to bring this about. Jesus is not teaching us to mouth empty words. He's teaching us to express what he has put on the Christian's heart. Saying it helps us focus our desires in the midst of a world that is always trying to distract. It's what we want. It's what God's Holy Spirit, who has made us to want it, wants. It's what God the Father wants. It's what Jesus wants. It is what Jesus came to earth to establish. May the Lord warm our hearts with meditation upon this prayer. And as we pray, remember, our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Recognize how much that means to us. How whatever happens, if Jesus goes with me, if Jesus helps me, if Jesus is praised, then it's worth it, and I want to go. God's done that to you. You're there because the Spirit of God has given you that desire. And God has been pleased to write these things upon your heart. You're praying for his kingdom to come. That's what you want more than anything, that his kingdom come. Now, will those things lead to some attempt to make it happen? Will the desire that the kingdom of God come be only a desire of the heart and bring tears to the eyes? Or will it move you to reach out and to accomplish that? If that's the desire of your heart and it's Jesus' desire, then do it. And haven't we been encouraged by that as we've seen the videos on the dispatches from the front? How people knew this was the desire of their heart, the desire of Jesus' heart, and they're going to go to bring it about. And that's the wonderful thing that opens our mouths and helps us to speak to others about Jesus. Make friends. Meet people, make friends, talk about Jesus. Been challenged by that goal with the videos we're looking at. Meet people, make friends, talk about Jesus. We've seen people that do that well. We think of the Ashcrofts who meet people, make friends, and talk about Jesus. And we're challenged because we desire that this be accomplished in the lives of others, that people be gathered into the kingdom. And so we do, from these things, learn, Lord, what shall I do? And how can I work to accomplish the things that I'm praying for? And how can I be used of you to help those things come about? We do call upon God to teach us what to do. We never really should leave a sermon without saying, what will you have me to do? Really, every gathering of God's people ought to be wonderful encouragement of who they are, but also leave with us a sense of what will you have me to do? Well, if from the heart we're to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, then we're to do something. We're to pray for the kingdom. Do what we can to extend the kingdom, and we're to pray for consistency and the kind of life that demonstrates the kingship of Jesus Christ. So we are to do something. We're to try to get our life, our act together, to get our lives where they ought to be in terms of God. If we have from the heart prayed, your kingdom come, then let us live with Jesus as King, and let us seek to do that which his subjects ought to do. There is something practical that comes down to it. There's some sort of sense of walking away with, what will you have me to do? But that doesn't become focused properly or ever be motivated properly without my first, from the heart, wanting it to be so. And that's what Jesus points to. Wanting it to be so. That God's kingdom come, that his will be done on earth, my life and the life of all the others, even as it is in heaven. Well, may God prompt us, even as we're studying the Lord's Prayer, not only to know what the content of the Lord's Prayer is and what the meaning of the words are, but meaning of the words is, but also to, from the heart, want these things, so that it becomes a part of our prayer, not because we remembered these are the elements and I have to include them, but because that's what's there in my heart. I do want that. It reminds me, these are the things I long for most. And so as I come, I can use it as a pattern, but not as a step to go through, but rather as a help to focus my thoughts that Jesus might be exalted in my life. Jesus gave it to do something powerful and deep in my being, and may the Lord help us to see that. And when we pray it, to pray from the heart and to long for it and to know that Jesus has given us that which we need, that which we want, and that which will bring glory to his name. So we'll be able to pray this in a group of people or alone as we use it as our pattern, expressing the heart of a Christian. Do you have that heart? I'm assuming everybody that gathers here is born again by the Spirit, because so many of you have shown evidence of that and you delight to hear about it, and it's wonderful encouragement, but have you done it? You younger people, have you come to know Jesus? Is it real? Is it something that you've experienced him so you really want to please Jesus? A little kid can want to please Jesus. Sometimes you come at an early age and your desire, you don't know a great deal, but you want to please Jesus. Do you want to please Jesus? Is that on your heart? Is religion for you something that is like that, or is it simply getting through this experience? You sort of wonder how long it'll be before the service is over. What is your experience? Little ones, have you come to know Jesus? And older ones, is it that? Is it a love for Christ that's in your heart empowering you? Well, that's what Jesus is speaking to when he gives the Lord's Prayer. He's speaking to the heart that he's worked in you, focusing you and helping you to see this is what's valuable, and this is what Christ teaches me to pray for. And we'll get to, obviously, the other elements that have to do with our personal needs. Wonderful how he's blent into the whole thing, our personal needs. And we come at them with the right attitude as well, because we recognize his wonderful pattern in the Lord's Prayer. I'd like us to read verses, the beginning of the prayer. It's not necessarily the introduction. Just read the prayer beginning with Our Father, and do so down to verse 13. Let's read it together in unison. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. May the Lord help us to have that prayer a part of our hearts. And when we pray it, not simply as a matter of routine, or not feeling that we're simply obeying the rules of prayer, so much as we are entering into the spirit of prayer that Jesus gives us as he speaks to us. He's given us how to pray. May God grant us the grace to do so. And if there's any question in your own life whether that has any reality for you, whether it's anything more than words, ask somebody. Talk to mom and dad. Talk to somebody else. Ask them. Make certain that that which you go through, the motions you go through, are an expression of a heart relationship with God. That's what God's coming to get. Bring you into a submission to him as king, knowing the blessing of serving him. May God bring all of us to that in reality. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving us a prayer that exactly expresses our hearts and puts our thoughts in a proper priority that we acknowledge is right. We come to you so often because of the immediate press of the moment, as if the most important thing is that we get help for the particular thing we face. Lord, we come so often out of balance and disjointed. Teach us to pray. Teach us to recognize that you are our Father in heaven. It's in our home. That you're on the throne, organizing all things according to the counsel of your will. Help us, Lord, to remember that we're part of a great company, that our lives are not simply our own. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to remember the wonderful angels in heaven obeying you with complete freedom and eagerness. And then help us, Lord, likewise to obey you in such a way. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your rules are good. Help us, Lord, we pray. Help us to be even like the angels in heaven in that, and that your will be done in our lives and in the lives of people all around us. Oh, Lord, accomplish these things. Lord, you put that on our hearts. We want to see it. Make us to pray and enable us to continue to pray that these wonderful things will be done. We offer ourselves to you, Lord. We fall far short of being what we ought to be. We often do not show our allegiance to you as king, and we fail to do as freely and quickly as we ought the things that you've commanded. But we call upon you, forgive us, Lord, and help us. And help us to pray these things from a warm heart. Grant us grace and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. We ask your blessing. You'll do your work in our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. I'd like us to sing number 195 together.